Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, happy Reformation Sunday. Today we're especially remembering the great work of God in Martin Luther and the great struggle that he had in his relationship with God, especially in his early days. Do you know Martin Luther, earlier in his life, his relationship with God was characterized by fear, anxiety, guilt, terror before the Lord, dread, and he had no joy, and he had no peace. But all that changed one day in his life when he came to discover the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in Scripture, that God justifies the man who believes in Jesus Christ freely as a gift of grace, receiving that salvation and righteousness needed for heaven by faith. And by faith alone. And Luther said, when he came to discover that, which was long lost and obscured and forgotten and covered by the church in his day, which was really teaching a salvation by justification by works of the law, Luther said, when he came to discover the gospel of the Scriptures, he said, I felt like I walked through open doors into paradise. And instead of all the anxiety and fear and guilt, he came into peace and joyful confidence before the Lord. And that's what the gospel does for us. And today I'd like to look with you at the old covenant and the new covenant, because Luther, just like all of us, was tempted throughout his life to return back to the law, justification by works. The whole church at that time was trying to force him towards that because they'd lost the gospel. So let's look at the true gospel today over against the old covenant of the Scriptures, which was the covenant of the law, so that we stay ever in the new covenant. Which one do you want, the new or the old? Say it.
New.
So let's take a look at those things today, what God would tell us about that through his Scriptures. Now, first off, what's a covenant? It's a what? Yeah, it's a, I think I got that right. Did I hear you say a solemn binding agreement between two parties? I think I heard that. Or two people? Just like a marriage covenant. You all have, if you've been married, you've had a marriage covenant where you agree to love, honor, cherish your spouse till death do you part. That's to be a binding relationship, but humans are sinners. Sometimes that is not kept. But you know what? God always keeps his covenants 100%. He never fails in the tiniest iota of a covenant with us. And in the Scriptures, they hold out to us two chief covenants God has had with man. The old covenant of the law and the new covenant in Jesus Christ of the gospel. And God has given us now the new covenant for our salvation. Do you ever get tempted to go back to the back one, to the old one? Well, let's compare these two covenants so that we see today we never want to go back to the old, but always live in the new, the free grace of God in Jesus Christ received by faith. So what are some similarities between these two covenants, the covenant of the law and the covenant of the gospel? Well, first off, you can look in Exodus 19. They were both given to man by God on a mountain. We read here, on the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone forth out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him up onto the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So it was on a mountain, right? When God started the law, it's from God. But also, if we look over here, that's how God started the new covenant, really. It was on a mountain. For we read in Luke chapter 23, verse 32 and following, two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place which is called the Skull, or Calvary in the Latin, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. So Where did God start the covenant of the law? On a mountain. And the covenant of the new covenant was also on a mountain. And they came with such great splendor and power from God, both of them. We read of the old covenant that on the morning of the third day, when Moses went up on the mountain, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain. Can you picture it? And a very loud trumpet blast coming from some angel, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. And the smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln. And the whole mountain quaked greatly. And at the sound of the trumpet, it grew louder and louder. And Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." Does that sound like a terrific covenant that God brought in the covenant of the law? The whole place shaking? Moses himself petrified, his knees knocking. Well, do you know the new covenant came in a similar way when Jesus died on the cross? For we read there of the new covenant. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, on the cross that is, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. That sound like a similarity? God is the author of both of these covenants. That's why it can be confusing for us to know that we're not under the covenant of the law, because God gave that, and much of the Bible is about the old covenant. It's inspired by God and came with great glory and with such splendor that it made your knees knock. It was so marvelous in power and awesome. Of the old covenant, it said in Deuteronomy 9, the Lord, Moses says, the Lord gave me the two tables of stone written with the finger of God. But how did we get the new covenant? Jesus gives us his bread and his wine, his body and blood, and he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. He gives it with his own fingers. So both of these covenants are from God. Amen? Which one do you want to be under? Oh, that's pretty good. You're going to get a little more excited, hopefully, before the end. Because these two covenants, though they both come from God, are very different. And we've got to mark that. They're very, very different. God promised that in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 31. He said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Watch this. Not like the covenant that I made with our fathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. So what are the key words there? Not like the covenant I made with our fathers. Do you get it? The new covenant is going to be what? Not like. Say that. Oh, you're good. The new covenant is not like the old covenant, says the Lord. Very different, both from God on a mountain, superpower by his finger, but very different. Let's take a look at the difference between these so that we never go back to the old, but live in the new, the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. What does God say to us about these two covenants, the differences? Why don't you want to go back to the old one? Well, God says, because you have a better mediator in the new covenant. It's written in the scriptures, John the Apostle says, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Who do you want, Moses or Jesus? Moses was great. He was wonderful. And we read here, though, in Hebrews 3, Jesus has been counted of as much more glory than Moses, as the builder of a house has more honor than the house. Now, Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant, but Christ was faithful over God's house as a son. Who do you want mediating your covenant between you and God? A man? A slave? A faulty man? Moses, who actually had sins? Or Jesus, the Son of God, who is superior to angels, whom angels worship, the Prince of Peace himself? Who do you want? I want Jesus, thank you. I'm going to live in the new covenant, not under the old one of justifying myself by works of the law. Another thing God says is it's different in scope. The new one is different from the old one in scope. Let's look at some of those things. For example, you go to here in Exodus chapter 3. Here's the old covenant, the covenant of the law through Moses. God says in verse 10, he says, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you will bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." They came out of bondage in Egypt, slavery. So to a human being, right? For Pharaoh, what do we get in the new covenant? Jesus says in John chapter 8, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed." What kind of slavery do you get in the old covenant? From a human being, right? From a country, from physical chains. What kind do you get in the new covenant? From chains of sin, from death, from hell. You're set free from Satan, the greater Pharaoh. I think I'm going to choose the new covenant, don't you? Do you want the new covenant or the old? Yes. Amen. It's different in the scope in this way too. After they left Egypt, the old covenant, they passed through water, through the Red Sea. We read there in Exodus 14, 22, "The people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters being a wall to them on their right and on their left." That's amazing. That's a wonderful covenant. But what do we get in the new covenant? We pass through the waters of baptism, being a wall to us on the right and on the left. They got out of a geographical location. We get the washing away of our sins. I think I choose that one, for it says, "Why do you wait?" Ananias said to Paul, "Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." So which covenant do you want to be under? All right. You guys got to participate. How about this one? After they left Egypt, they were passing through the wilderness, the great and terrible wilderness, a dry wilderness, and God gave them water from the rock and manna to eat. When the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as the hoarfrost on the ground. When the people saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" Which is basically the word manna. And they didn't know what it was. And Moses said, "It's the bread the Lord's given you to eat." Is that a wonderful covenant? Sure. Right? They got the bread of the angels. But you know what Jesus says of that? In John chapter 6, he says, "Moses gave you bread in the wilderness, but the people ate of that bread and they died. I've got bread for you to eat, of which if a man eats of it, he'll never die." Does that sound like a better covenant to you? And Jesus says, "I am the living bread. If you believe on me, if you eat of me, you will live forever. The bread I give is my flesh. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life in you, and I will raise you up at the last day." Which covenant do you want to be under? The new. I want the new. I don't want the old. That old was great, but I want the new. In the old covenant, you had a Sabbath day. God said, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day, it's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work that you may rest. Now here's a real testimony to our sinfulness. We don't even want to take a command to rest, right? The people broke that commandment even. But God gave them a rest where they rested from their labors one day a week and their bodies had rest. What kind of rest do you get in the new covenant? Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, from gentle and lowly heart, and you will find rest for your souls." What kind of rest is Jesus talking about there? You tell me. What are you heavily burdened with? Sins. Jesus says, in the old covenant, you got a physical rest. I'm here to give you a spiritual rest for your soul, where you will find true peace. That's why Luther could go from terror to joyful peace and confidence. It's the new covenant. That's what it's designed to give you. In the old covenant, you had also a tabernacle. What's that? The tent, where God came and lived with his people in the midst of this tent he had set up, a tabernacle. God's glory came, and that's where he lived, right there over the Ark of the Covenant in this tent. And the first covenant had regulations for worship in an earthly sanctuary. It had a high priest. But who do we have in the new one? Yeah, the old high priest was Aaron. He wasn't such a hot ticket. When Moses is on the mountain receiving the first covenant, Aaron is down in the valley making a golden calf for the people to worship. I don't want that high priest. It was pretty great. He would enter the sanctuary once a year, but he'd have to enter with blood for the people and for his own sins, for his own. Jesus, though, it says in the scriptures, it says, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, not of this creation. What's that mean? Jesus went where? As a high priest. Not of this creation? Where did he go? Heaven. He's not going into a little earthly tent. He went into heaven. And whose blood did he bring in there? The blood of bulls and goats? No. Whose blood did he bring in there? His own blood, it says in Hebrews, thus securing for you an eternal redemption. Who wants to go back with me to the law today and to be justified by works of the law? Anybody going back with me? No. We're under the new covenant, a better high priest. We have forgiveness of our sins. A priest, a mediator in heaven of a new covenant. We read here, in the old days, in the old covenant, what did they get? God led them into the promised land, which is a little patch of dirt in the Near East, right? A beautiful land flowing with milk and honey. And God led them through under Joshua. And God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, Joshua, arise, go over this Jordan and all this people into the land which I'm giving them to the people of Israel. Everywhere your foot treads shall be yours. What is Jesus' name in Hebrews? Hebrew. Same name, Joshua. He's the greater Joshua. And where is he leading into? What is your inheritance? A patch of dirt? He's leading you into a promised land in the world to come. Hebrews 9:15 says, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called, that's you, may receive the promised eternal inheritance. The old guys received an inheritance in a physical land. You get an inheritance called new heavens and new earth, in which righteousness dwells, where a wolf will lie down with a lamb, a little child shall lead them, and they shall not hurt or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Which promised land do you want? The old one, where there's been warfare ever since? Or do you want the new one, where there's peace and joy forevermore? I'm going with the new covenant, thank you. I'm going with Jesus Christ and the inheritance he gives me. I don't want to go back to the old. I got the new. The old was good. The new is better by far. And it's far-reaching in who it touches. Who did the old covenant touch? Jews, basically, and Jews only, unless you came into the become a Jew. 2 Samuel 7 says, what other nation on earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and terrible things by driving out before his people a nation and its gods? The old covenant was for whom? Jews and Jews only, and those who believe with the Jews, becoming a Jew. But the new covenant, we read here in Acts 10 that Peter, while he was still preaching to the Gentiles, to Cornelius, the very first one basically, to come into the faith, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers among the circumcised who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. If you go with the old covenant, what do you got to become? A Jew. And you got to keep the whole law. And you're never going to make it. You can't keep the law. In the new covenant, it's for Jews and Gentiles. And God says in Isaiah, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. And I give my son. It's too light a thing just to give you to save the Jews. I'll give you as a light to the Gentiles, that everybody can be saved. So I'm going with the new one, thank you, and I believe you are too. And the real difference between these two covenants, very important, is its power to save. Because we read here of the old covenant in Hebrews 8, it says, for if that first covenant, the law, had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second. In other words, if there was nothing wrong with the first covenant, God wouldn't need to give you a new one. But there was something wrong with the first covenant. What was it? It had no power to forgive you your sins, to save you. God says, I'm giving you a new covenant, not like the covenant I made with your fathers, which they broke, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law into your minds. I'll write it upon your hearts. I'll be your God. You will be my people. And it will no longer be you teaching your fellow about the Lord, for everybody will know me. For, watch this, I'll be merciful toward their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more. The promise of the forgiveness of sins. Why could the law not save you? It promised, if you keep it, you get life. Why couldn't it save you? You couldn't keep it. I can't keep it. The law promised life, but Paul says, sin finding opportunity in that old covenant's commandment deceived me and by it killed me. And it's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. You know, if I told you today, we're going to take away your sins with a sacrifice, and I'm going to put something in place that God will accept. Let's go bring a frog in here and kill it, and that'll be enough to save you. Would that do? Why? Because a frog has no value. It has no value next to a man. Bulls and goats cannot save you because they're not equal to a man. You need a man's blood, a perfect man, to die for you in order to redeem mankind and then the world. Who did God send? His perfect Son, Jesus Christ, came, and it says that for when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, that's himself, he sat down at the right hand of God, then to wait until his enemies should be made a stool for his feet. For by a single offering, he's perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And I will remember their sins no more. So are you all sanctified today? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you justified freely by God's grace as a gift? God says you are perfected through the blood that was shed for you. Not a blood of bulls and goats like the old covenant. My son's blood has been poured out for you in full measure. Martin Luther said one drop of Jesus' blood was enough to save the entire world. But God on that cross poured out his blood in abundance to show how rich his mercy and his grace is to wash and lavish over you and take away your sins. Are you carrying the burden of sins with you today? Jesus says, come to me. I'll take those, bear them away to a solitary land far away, and you're free. You're washed. You're perfected for all time. You're covered. You're saved to an eternal inheritance. So, old covenant, sheep, goats, bulls, new covenant, Jesus Christ. Which one do you want to be under? I'll choose the new, thank you. As it is, Christ has obtained a ministry which is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it's enacted on better promises. You have good and great promises, better ones. For the effect on a relationship is this. What did the law get you? Paul says, Romans 4:15, the law brings wrath. And in the old covenant, what happened at Mount Sinai? 3,000 people were slaughtered. What happened to the new covenant? On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people come to eternal life and are saved. And since we're justified by faith, says Paul, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Luther felt terror, dread, anxiety, guilt, because he was feeling under the weight of the law. When he came to the gospel, he felt peace and joyful confidence. And I ask you today, what do you feel? Are you ridden with guilt? Are you in terror before the Lord? Are you all in consternation and trouble? Well then, let's go from the old covenant to the new. Justified freely by grace through faith, then comes peace and joyful confidence so that you can enjoy your relationship with God. And God says, I'm yours and you're mine. And isn't that great? Forever and ever and ever. For it's far greater in splendor. Paul says the old covenant was a dispensation of death carved in letters of stone. But the new one is the dispensation of God's Spirit, which comes with far greater splendor. The old covenant is like the moon, which was very bright and beautiful during the darkness of nighttime. But when the sun rises in the morning, with all of its glory, what happens to the moon? Its glory fades, and you're like, oh yeah, the moon, it's nothing now. It's nothing next to the glorious rising of the sun in strength. That's the new covenant. The old one you can still see in the Bible, it's over here, but it's faded in glory. It's obsolete. It's vanishing away, says Scripture, before the rising splendor of the new covenant, which is grace upon grace in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins through his shed blood. And now the fruit in your heart is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So one more question today, one more point. Why did God give us the law? If he's got a new, greater one for us, the new covenant, why did he give us the law in the first place? Was he just trying to find something to do? The law had a great purpose. Paul says the law's purpose was to show us our sin and our need for a Savior. For no human being will be justified in God's sight by works of the law, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. You wouldn't know what sin is unless God had given you the covenant and made you feel guilty, terrible, troubled, anxious. Oh my goodness, I've sinned. That's horrible. That's the purpose of the first covenant. And then what does it do? It points you to the new covenant so that you say, where can I find a Savior? And then in comes God with the new covenant saying, here he is, my son. Believe on him and you shall be saved, you and your household. Beautiful. It's just beautiful how God put it all together. One to prepare you, one to save you. And that's the purpose. And Jesus says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day into a beautiful new world that is forever. And so go from guilt and fear and anxiety and dread today into the new covenant of grace and hear it again freely right now. God so loved the world, God so loved you personally that he gave his son that you, believing on him, should not perish, but have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.